Okay, welcome to our meeting of the Board of Commissioners. As usual, we will begin with a prayer, reading, or a thought, and the Pledge of Allegiance. We'll look to the audience for any volunteers to offer either of those. Do we have any volunteers for a prayer, reading, or thought, or to lead us in the pledge? I see Gary Radcliffe standing up. Is that volunteering?
Sure.
Okay, great. All right, Gary, will you give us the prayer, reading, or thought?
I'll give the prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before the beginning of this commission meeting and pray for thy spirit to be with us. And we express our gratitude unto thee for the blessings of life, for the blessings of living in a free country, for the opportunities to, in this country that we have, to express ourselves and to participate in the process as necessary to provide for services and to enjoy all of the many things that we do enjoy. We pray for leaders of our country and for our leaders in all levels of government, that decisions might be made that will be for the betterment of thy children. We pray for thy spirit to bless us now in this meeting, that decisions may be made accordingly that to thy will. And we are grateful, Heavenly Father, for those that serve our country in the capacity of law enforcement or in the military, that work hard and tirelessly every day to help us help us to preserve those freedoms that we enjoy. And we pray for thy spirit here and do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Seeing no other volunteers, will those who are able stand and join us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we'll go through the process now of building our agenda. Everything that is, we have a published consent agenda and published regular agenda. Everything on the regular agenda will go on for consent to be approved, unless it's held for discussion.
Probably for just lack of confusion later on, that we are going off of the published, on the published notary website, the agenda that is published there, and not necessarily the one that you have, possibly could have through an email. There is one item that didn't get on there. Right, because the website, the state's website was down.
The website was down and...
Yeah.
Okay, are there any consent items that need to be held for discussion?
There's one that, number 18 on consent, there was some discussion on sales tax needs to be removed from this agreement. I just wanted to make sure that that was going to be the case, the sales tax.
Should we just hold this item?
We can. That was the only comment that I had on it, unless we want to talk further.
I didn't have anything on it additional. So.
I don't have anything else on it either, but I'm just trying to figure out. So is that kind of going on consent with the understanding that...
With the understanding that the sales tax will be removed.
Sales tax will be removed?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. They're actually, I think number 9, we need to strike.
Is that from?
So, I mean, actually, I mean, we could address it another way. We could strike it or hold it. I think that we had a discussion about modifying this so that the county commission offices would not be included in this contract.
Oh, that's right.
And this is still in?
It's still in there.
There.
Still.
But I don't know if we still need it for the other sections. So let's just hold this. We'll hold number 9.
Okay. Hold it? Okay.
Okay. Any other on the consent agenda? Okay. I would like to hold number 5 on regular agenda for discussion. I would also hold for a very brief discussion number 3. Any others?
No.
Okay. Before we officially kind of do that, I would just noting that now we are only going to discuss number 9 on consent, number 3 and number 5 on regular. For those items that are now about to be approved, are there any public comment? Okay. Seeing none, all of those are now on consent for approval. And we'll move to those items that we're going to discuss. Robert.
Robert Baxter, purchasing manager. On this one, I went ahead and I contacted all the different offices within the county, and we've come to the agreement that we're going to terminate the contract countywide, that we're going to go ahead and do all the shredding internally. They are going to need to make one more pickup on the 4th of February. I'm assuming in your office as well, you have a bin, there's probably stuff in there, locked in there to be picked up and hauled away. So I'm not sure if this contract needs to be signed technically in order for them to do that, or if we can just let them pick it up and haul it all away and we're done with it. But we won't be actually using that contract anymore countywide.
Okay. And have we already terminated that agreement?
Well, that's a question as well. If there needs to be some sort of, I mean, I've contacted them and informed them, and we've come to an agreement. Whether or not we have to do a formal termination, I'm not really sure.
The contract's expired, right?
Has it expired? What was the expiration date?
Well, it doesn't have an expiration date.
I'll
have to get with the attorney's office and
see.
Yeah.
It seems like it would probably make sense if the understanding is that there will be a final run, then we should get a final acceptance as they send it, you know, this is our final payment under the terms of the contract, it's terminated.
So technically, right. I'm thinking we should probably sign this.
So we probably don't need this at all, if that's
yeah.
the case. So we could probably just strike this. If we need something, we can put it back on.
Just strike this. Because I mean, I guess that's the question. If they're coming to do the final pickup, they technically don't have a contract to do that.
Well, they do if the other one hasn't expired.
Well, see, the issue is that the commissioners moved to a new office, so we needed to change the contract to include them in the new office building. So for them to come and do that pickup, I don't know if we need to have a new contract.
I'm going to venture and guess they'll just take the couple extra steps and hopefully grab it.
I mean, I'm assuming that they're going to do it. I don't know if they're going to require us to have this or not. I think that this contract is really our requirement, not so much theirs.
Let's strike this. If we decide we need something, then we can put something back.
Is that bin even over in our office?
I haven't even seen
it over there. Or do we leave it back?
Is it
back?
I can't imagine there is anything in there, but we do have it. It's in the supply room.
Okay.
Closest to Commissioner Ivey's office. So.
You can tell how much I've used it.
Yeah, they're going to come up, empty them out, and haul away the bins and be done with it.
I mean, maybe to satisfy our purchasing obligations, we'll simply need to have something that acknowledges the termination of the agreement, and that will be the purposes of our contract for the final payment. So,
okay,
I'd entertain a motion to strike number 9.
Motion to strike consent agenda item number 9.
Second.
We got a motion and second to strike Item number 9 on the consent agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That passes 3-0. Regular agenda item number 3.
You had a question.
Just a simple question. My understanding is that you've done everything that we talked about that you would do in their last work session, that you've transferred funds from personnel and benefits, from wages and benefits, to cover the I Look About contract.
Because of the delay in the start, yes. So everything's being pushed back. So the positions that are being talked today are not going to be hired right away, but they will be hired later. So we're adding them to the staffing plan now, but they will be funded. Well, there's not funds available because we transferred the funds to hire people now. So we're simply creating the positions now to be filled later. So it's more of an administrative function to have them set up for the future.
Yeah, so that was my question, is on the funds that were transferred out of your wages and benefits.
Right.
Is that simply because of delayed start time, or is there one of the positions that was previously approved that will not be hired this year?
It is because of the delay. What was delayed was going to come out of last year's budget, and so all of those funds were returned to the fund balance. Because of the delay, we had to come up with funds out of the current budget. And based on that, we agreed last week that we would just push everything back about 6 months.
I didn't remember that. I knew that you were coming out of the wages, which you've done now. So this, we're ready. I mean, the contract is already approved, but on this, I just wanted to make sure. I had a conversation with Ralph about, if, for example, you were able to access those extra funds by eliminating one position or not hiring one position, then I would have wanted to modify the staffing plan to show that that position is no longer there. It sounds like that's not the case. It's simply the delay, in which case I think we just need to make sure that, you know, I don't know how that works in our staffing plan, so that if the intention is to not hire right now, if we're approving this staffing plan and you were to immediately hire them,
right,
then technically
right,
you could have a run over in your budget.
Which, as we talked about last week, is not the intent. The intent is to have this set up in the staffing plan as we go forward with the project.
Okay.
And so right now we're adding other positions, and we just put these two. We still have two more positions that were approved in the budget that aren't in the staffing plan yet, too.
That are not in the staffing plan. Oh, okay.
Yet.
So you are already
so
covering
technically
in that
we
way.
Do have it covered,
yep,
but until we get those other two, but still we plan on delaying
okay
these two positions until later. So
okay. Thank you.
Okay.
No additional questions. I'll move that we authorize regular agenda item number 3 is stated.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to authorize regular agenda item number 3 as stated. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 3-0. Item number 5.
Good afternoon, Sergeant Rockwell at the Sheriff's Office. Do you have any questions? Do you want me to explain what the request is?
I think I understand the request. It's simply that Vineyard is asking for an additional deputy.
Yeah, Vineyard has agreed to fund an additional position, which will be a detective position. So.
And so you're just adding the staffing plan?
Adding that to the staffing plan, which I did present in our budget meetings we had before. So that money has been put in restricted funds, and upon the approval will be moved into the budget line items.
So my comment it's more one of the process,
okay,
which kind of goes back to, I think, an ongoing question is, how can we make sure that when we're dealing with the city of Vineyard and the city of Eagle Mountain,
okay,
that truly we're having all of our costs covered, right? Because
okay,
as you look at the letter simply, which it's nice, it's simple, it seems like it's easy to administer for our sheriff's office when they say that they would like a position, and then immediately we have the ability to pass on those costs. But I'm just curious, you're not surprised. You know this is a conversation that we've had.
Yeah.
Is there a way that we just can... So, for example, this particular position, when will we start receiving funds?
As soon as the person is in that position.
As soon as that position.
Yep. Daylene, who is here, she does the billings and she'll bill for that position. So she'll send out a bill based upon the contract per deputy price. As far as the process goes, as far as that price is concerned, or that cost is concerned, and whether that's covering costs or not, we review that on an annual basis per the contracts. And per the contracts, by April 1st, we notify the city of if there's going to be an increase or if it'll remain status quo based upon prior year's expenses, and we evaluate that with the upcoming year's expenses as well.
And that, I think, is just an area where we're not going to solve that in today's meeting.
Okay.
But I'm curious if we shouldn't just be having that dialogue with them whenever we add something like this, right? Instead of having this true up, I mean, that creates some uncertainty even on their budget as a city. And if we are aware of any shortfalls there, why wouldn't we just, you know, negotiate that contract to a level that says, hey, now we know we're comfortable. And anytime they want to add a position, we just go ahead and try to add that in. So there may still be a true up mechanism, but we're not, you know, if we already know there's some sort of shortfall, we're not waiting until April of every year.
Yeah. The one good thing about both cities, both large cities that we contract with, is they go off of the fiscal year. And so they don't do their budgets till July. So when we update them with a price in April, it works well for them because they can update their costs coming in their upcoming year. As far as an ongoing tally of what a new position would cost, you know, one of the things that we look at on the cost per deputy wage is wages and benefits, obviously, which is probably most of your biggest concern as far as whether we're paying that fair share. The problem is the cities don't always have the same personnel who make the same wage or have the same level of benefits. And so to say that this position is going to cost X, it's good for us to be able to review the year, get an average of what that would be, and then put that into our contract price.
And when we do that, if there was a shortfall, does that just adjust it? So if we go through that process and adjust it in April, does that just adjust it prospectively going forward? Or does it say, hey, we were actually underpaid by $100,000 this last year, we need to be reimbursed for that amount?
So it depending on which contract you're talking about.
Okay.
If you're talking about Vineyards contract does have a mechanism for if they were to underpay that they would pay the county back. Also has a mechanism if they overpaid, the county would pay them back.
Sure.
That is something that we are, just so you have understand it, as myself and Chief McDowell, who's over Eagle Mountain, and of course the rest of the staff, especially with Daylene, we have ongoing conversations about what costs are. It's something we're always worried about. The cities want to pay what their fair share is, and we want to make sure that they are paying that. So that is something that I work at almost daily and work on, and I know McDowell does as well. So
no, and I appreciate that. I know that it's on the top of your mind. And in all the conversations that have been had about this, I've never had the sense from either our side or the cities that there is much of a discrepancy.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but because there have been questions that have been raised in the past, I just thought, well, why don't we, if there is a very small discrepancy, why don't we go through the process of just cleaning that contract up, fixing it, if there's already mutual interest in both sides to do that?
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Daylene, but I think if there was some major concern, like a major cost increase from the county's perspective, there is a mechanism we can increase that price throughout the year, the contract price. There is that mechanism in the contract available. It just hasn't been something that we've had. We've done in the past, but not since I've been in there. So,
okay. But we do, who purchases the vehicle? We do.
So, well, the county...
So they're paying the cost for a year is what they're doing. So if they were to finish in a year, then they only pay for a year use of that vehicle.
They're kind of on a lease basis with us.
Exactly.
For the vehicle.
We won't turn the vehicle into them. It is our vehicle. So and they're only leasing the deputy, his equipment, his time, and the vehicle for 1 year every time we do this.
So the original cost for everything comes to us for it. Yes. And then part of the concerns that I've had in looking back is that because we're on the different cycles, sometimes we'll go through a process with COLA increases, there's merit step increases. I don't see those cleanly going through appropriately, even for the time past, because we're usually doing a contract in half year cycles. And so the true up, in my opinion, should go all the way back if we're reaching back, not just necessarily forward, because our contracts are 1 year, and that true up should true us all the way up. And second, my other concern is that when we look at this contract, we have liabilities that are out there in the way of insurance purposes and possible deaths and everything else that can happen that we're fully on the hook for. And if something does happen, hopefully it never does happen, but if it does, we still continue to pay even though the cities don't.
And to address that, the cities do pay an insurance premium as part of their contract for every deputy, which is about $1,162 a year. They pay an insurance premium for accidents, for things that the county would be on the hook of for every deputy that they have. As far as ongoing afterwards, the majority of our deputies serve a few years in a contract city. The rest of the time, they're county employees, and they will. And you know, for you know, the one that we had passed away was a county employee much longer than he was a city employee. And so for the city, they've paid that insurance premium from their perspective, but they are a county employee, and they have been, and they served at the county in other areas other than the city. And that would be, I guess, the argument of should the city continue to pay afterwards for the small time that they served in the city.
Yeah.
Above and beyond the insurance premium that they were paying while he was there, he or she were there.
And I think it would come back to necessarily when that accident may happen or occur. If it was on duty during that time that they were in a contract city, there would be a different, you know, a different case for at least an analysis of what's going on there. Because if the cities had their own department, they would bear the whole brunt the whole time. Even if that deputy was only on duty with them for the first 6 months or a year. And worked in the county before that, they would bear the brunt of the whole cost of that. Anyway, I think the conversation needs to continue, and I appreciate you, you know, at least being willing to talk about this, because we have looked at some of the past, at least from the auditor's side. It's been brought to my attention a few areas in which, you know, the contracts pass, and now we don't go back years and years, but there are some areas that the numbers don't quite add up and go cleanly all the way through.
Well, and I think as far as, you know, benefits and wages go, one of the things that we do is the way we base our contract, generally speaking, is of a mid-range. And so you may have people that are making more or less in the cities. More generally, our contract cities, one of the conversations I just had today was, we may base that cost off of a mid-range deputy. The majority of the deputies in our cities are new, and they're not making that wage. And so there is that, you know, we try to buffer so that it's fair. So if there are those things that come up throughout the year, that we can account, those are accounted for. You know, we're not trying to charge, Daylene doesn't look at it, what's the base minimum that we can charge the cities? It's more of what's going to be fair so that we can be equitable, knowing that we generally do this on a yearly basis.
No, and I appreciate that. That's consistent with my conversations with Sheriff Smith, that all indications seem that your office are on top of this. There's not big amounts, but I think there have been a couple ideas, at least from the meetings I've been in, that have been thrown out from time to time and say, yeah, maybe we could measure that a little bit differently. Maybe we could fix that. And so what I don't want to see is us go through, personally, I'm ready to vote for this and support this. And I don't see any significant major problems with these arrangements, but I don't want to go through another budget process at the end of this year and still have the exact same questions that we had at the end of last year, right? So I'd love to start just teeing up if there's a couple of little things that we can clean up in those contracts so that we know that, you know, questions have been asked and answered early on in the year. And I think this also goes along with, I have a preference. I've mentioned this initially with members of the sheriff's office, but to start seeing the budget in the sheriff's department broken down by unincorporated area services, general fund services, and then separate services. And I would say the contract would be separate service, right? And that, okay, and that way it would show revenue coming in, but you know, it would show the revenue covering the costs for that optional expense.
So right now, I believe the budget does separate that as far as revenue coming in from the contract.
For the
contract, cities.
Yes.
Maybe not the rest of it, but for the contract cities, it is a separate item.
Yeah.
So, but just so you're aware, those are constant conversations that we're having. I'm actually working. I've sent emails just this last week about the contracts and about updating them and looking at those. So we're striving to ensure that you know, it's equitable on for the county as well as the cities. So
appreciate that. And I also understand that there is, perfection is not the standard in these. We're not going to be able to predict every possible circumstance. But I think there are some basic ones we need to make sure that we cover. So appreciate this.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Just a question just for my own clarification. If a contracted officer for Vineyard or Eagle Mountain was in the proximity of a crime or event happening within unincorporated county, would they respond to that event?
So yeah, they would. Our Eagle Mountain deputies are consistently responding to Cedar Fort, Fairfield, 5 Mile. My deputies in Vineyard, if we know that a county deputy, like a North End county deputy, is out in Cedar Fort and there's a call up Sundance or up the canyon, we're obviously closer. So we do offer mutual aid that way, where my guys will run up there to help out on that while the other deputy is responding. And, you know, it would just work together to ensure that we respond at the appropriate response times for the citizens. So,
and if a call for a mutual aid from Provo or another city came in and we responded, and the officer unfortunately was killed in response to that, would the city be expected to carry the life benefits because we were responding
to Provo
an event
or
an event happening in their city?
No. So, well, I mean, the great thing about, I mean, the citizens, from my perspective, obviously, is the citizens expect that mutual aid. You know, for example, I live in Saratoga Springs. When they had the flood out there, I was a county deputy on patrol at the time, and I think we had more county deputies than Saratoga had on the flood. We were there to help. And the citizens, all of which of us pay county taxes, really appreciate that. And I think that's what it comes down to in law enforcement. If we have an active shooter in this building, you'll have somebody from every agency in the county, I guarantee you, here very quickly. And that's just, I think the citizens expect it. We as, you know, brothers and sisters in law enforcement, that's what we do.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I'll move that we authorize regular agenda item number 5.
And I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to authorize regular agenda item number 5. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 3-0. Okay. Some may have a version of the agenda that has an item 6. Some may have one that does not. It was not noticed, so we will not be addressing that item. So what we have remaining is closed session items. My understanding is that we do need a session for professional competence and for litigation.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we strike number 7 and number 8.
Second.
Oh, wait. What do you need? What number is that one?
8.
I've got Sal's 8. You're on the original agenda, right?
So we just need to strike number 8 then.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to strike number 8. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 3-0. Motions
I'm confused here for a second though, because it says on the sale is actually, because of the numbers, is number 8. So it should be strike number 7. That one's the, you're not looking for purchase exchange, you're looking for sale.
Correct.
Oh, yeah. So I'll amend that to number 7, to strike number 7.
Okay, I'll second that.
You have a motion and a second to amend the previous motion to strike number 7. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The passes 3-0.
I'll make a motion that we approve and set a date, time, and location for a closed meeting for the items number 6, number 8, and number 9.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to have closed meetings for today's date at this time, immediately following this meeting, for number 6, 8, and 9. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 3-0. Thank you. We'll now move into our closed meetings. Okay, we're back in our public meeting. We have no work session, no more public comment. Final motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion and second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes 3-0. Adjourn.
So, but one question on that. So, like,